Hello, guys. Behind the Bunker Monday Night Podcast 526, episode 648. If you're ever wondering what the differentiation is because we did 648 regular shows like this, and then we turned some of them into podcasts. That's why we're only down to 526, but there you go. My name is Todd Ensich. Welcome to our weekly paintball podcast. With me tonight, I have Josh Zubizabrekis beside me.
Yes, sir.
And across from him, we have Joe Kimson from Flaggetters Paintball.
Greetings and thanks for tuning in tonight to beautiful Behind the Bunker. It is garbage night in Cambridge, Ontario, and probably parts of other parts of Waterloo region where we are. So it's garbage night. My friend Gavin's not here, but my pants are in his place. They're right here. My work pants, Josh fixed the crotch. He sold them because he's an accomplished seamster. As like a mister, but he's a seamster,
Taylor.
Not a teamster. Taylor. Anyway,
is that what they call a unionized seamstress?
It's a seamster. Seamster.
Part of the seamsters union.
Unionized seamsters person union. Who does sewing is called a slave.
That's nice.
A youth.
All right. Well, welcome. Without Gavin, we also have Matt the Crypt. He'll be joining us on mic as well.
Maybe.
And yeah, if you guys have any questions. Post them up in the live paintball chat. We will get to them as the show goes on. Last week, Ryan McGee sent this in. It was a question. He said, what are some movie/TV/game series that you guys would like to see a scenario game based upon? So we graphicized it and posted it up. And you guys responded with some great comments. So we'll get to those a little bit later on. Last week's episode, we talked about the most gimmicky paintball product as well as make up some juicy gossip. Those were just a couple of the last couple podcasts. If you guys find that interesting, head back and re-listen to some of our podcasts. You can find them anywhere, Spotify, Google Play, any of those places. Normally on the Monday after NXL, we tell you congratulations to whoever won first place in the pro division, but no one did. They had a big storm, and unfortunately, so many of the games were delayed, and some of the fields were out of play, so they pushed everybody, and we had divisional play on the Go Sports field. So the highest-ranked teams were the semi-pros, and congratulations to New York Wrecking Crew taking first overall with a convincing win over the Growl, 5-0. Wow. This was not my picture. This was Paintball Ruined My Life, as well as 100 million people share this photo, it seemed. But this is the status after one of the storms.
That might be what one would describe as swampy.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe a little talcum would help.
Yeah. Dump truck, maybe.
Maybe. Just a couple of photos here that I thought were quite well done. Yeah, you don't want to be...
That's not just rain. That's swimming.
That is.
Why didn't they try to find a place that wasn't actually in the Gulf of Mexico?
Or a place with... what's that aggregate word?
Sand?
Drainage.
Yes. Well, in fairness to the league, the ground where they were, the property where they were, would have been just fine had they not have had a week of storms leading up to it and then a week of storms during it.
It's nothing a 2-degree slope can't handle.
All right.
Unless you're Dubai.
You heard it there, folks. So right now, this is where we're at with the pro division. Los Angeles Ironmen is number one in their bracket. Chicago Aftershock in theirs. Red Legion in theirs. And Houston Heat. You'll ask yourself, hey, why isn't Dynasty up there? They're ranked 14th right now.
They didn't even make it to Sunday.
They did not. I believe they went 3-0. If they don't, maybe not 3-0. Maybe they went 2-1.
They went 3-1.
Was it 3-1?
They played 4 games. The same with Edmonton Impact.
Actually, I should just look on their score sheet. Yes, you're right, Joe. 3-1, and they won 2. Yeah. So, unfortunately, I will say if you guys get a chance to go back, it might even be free watch if you don't subscribe to Go Sports, which you should anyways. But the Dynasty match against. Against Ironman was great. Ironman shot 5 of them off the break within the first 10 seconds on the first point, and then it went back and forth until overtime when Ironman finished it off. And I want to say congratulations to local boy Tom Guest playing for Ironman. He played super awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, and his name was being mentioned quite a bit on the broadcast. Moving on, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Remember we talked about the autonomous paint camera to defend your home? They officially put their Kickstarter up and sent us the link. So if you guys are interested, get in the ground floor. There's only 64 backers so far. They just started it, and they're looking to raise about 120 grand. So yeah, go get yourself sorted out on that one. A little bit of sad news. Remember the summit that happened this year? Mm-hmm. The predecessor, Paintball Extravaganza, Rick, the gentleman who ran it, has officially retired. And so if you guys have ever been to Paintball Extravaganza and remember the years and years of Extravaganza-ing, it was pretty awesome. So we want to congratulate Rick on his retirement. And of course, in one of his showcase pictures, he shows this. Remember that tech? That was pretty old, Matt.
I remember that. Look at that. You know, we had some really, you know, great broadcast opportunities at Paintball Extravaganza.
Look at those spring chickens, too.
I know. We were young. You know, I made a comment on Rick's Facebook post. But do you remember when, before we went to wherever that was, what was that called? The
Hyatt Hotel.
The Hyatt Dulles. Or whatever. Dulles. Yeah. Remember when we went to the Xerox Center, that bomb shelter?
That was so cool.
Yeah. It was like a... It was like a cement fortress, and they had like the players party downstairs in a bar, and it had underground tunnels and stuff linking it. You could survive in there. Super high speed internet because they had military people in there training, and you know, you could move your whole operation in there and run it in the event of, you know, what was it?
Yeah, it was like a category 5 hurricane or something like that. And then, yeah,
give me a category 6.
It's pretty amazing. So
yeah,
that was a great building.
Yeah, and the food was phenomenal, food was, as we've good, mentioned, yes. And
the parking, so much of it, so many of the parking.
As horrible as that just sounded, you're absolutely right. And what a difference does that actually make?
Sometimes it does, man. Sometimes.
Yeah, especially when you're the guy that was hired to drive the truck full of gear to the event. At least you have places to be.
I'm going to spend the next 2 minutes finally looking at Google Earth photos of it.
Really?
No, there sure, you go.
What's it called now? It's not Xerox anymore. It's something else. Do you remember what it's called? Can you find it?
I'm going to find it.
Yeah. While he's finding that, don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, November 1st to 3rd, Fold a Gap is happening. That's happening at Command Decisions Wargame Center. Our good friend Eric Engler is running that one, and it is always a good time. If you're looking for a guarantee banger, definitely want to head over there. And I'm being told that if you want to win that match, you want to play for the blue side for our friend, Mr. Bricktop. So
I am only interested in losing.
Well, then join Warsaw and play for Chris. No offense, Chris, but I don't know you, so I'm going to root for Bricktop. Also, speaking of Bricktop, they are hosting a live show at Living Legends on... I believe it's the... Correct me if I'm wrong. You're in the live chat. I'm pretty sure I just saw you. Either Friday or Saturday... And they'll have special guest Wolf on there as well. So make sure you tune in for that. Speaking of great games that are coming up, and kind of to talk about our topic that's happening today, is think of some great themes of some games to play. Here we've got Christmas Vacation being done by our good friends Action Scenario Events. They're doing Fire for Effect, Fight Club, The Brand. That's going to be sizzling. And True Blood.
Rick Top said they're doing a show Friday from 11 till 5. That's a long show.
It's a long show. If you guys are looking for some awesome merch before we move on here, make sure you head over to behindthebunker.com and get yourself some hoodies, some t-shirts, choose your colors, choose your patterns, all that great stuff. Last thing that I wanted to show you guys, something super awesome happened to me. And you know what? I'm still deciding whether I want to be his friend, but did you see that Andrew Tate decided to friend me?
What's Andrew Tate?
Isn't that fellow on social media that gets everybody into trouble?
Is that actually the real Andrew Tate?
No. Oh. He has one friend or one mutual friend.
Oh.
And I think he just joined Facebook like 3 days ago.
Oh,
but it still was nice that Andrew himself.
Clearly the real Andrew Tate.
That's exactly it. But it's nice that Andrew decided to offer me a friend request. All right.
I get weird friend requests, but these phantom people that have no friends ask to be my friend. It's crazy.
Yeah, I won't friend anybody unless they have like a couple dozen mutual friends. Because what's the point? But then, and also, do you have to have been on Facebook for more than the last 6 months?
Yes.
You have to have more than six friends, and your profile picture can't, like, your profile picture has to match a couple of your profile pictures that you've already posted. So, Joe, maybe move your boom a little closer. I just want to make sure people can hear you. There we go.
Boom.
There we go. All right. Well, should we get into the topic at hand shortly? Before we do that, we have the vault to get to. And Gavin's not here, so we're going to go over mail time for next week. And then, we'll do the vault. We'll go into our topic, and then we'll get into some other great stuff. So if you guys are here, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Joe from Flaggers Paintball here with another segment of From the Vault, where we go back in history, back in the early days of paintball, and I'll show you something that's kind of cool, something that's kind of old, and something you may not have seen before, or something you may have seen before and really wanted it bad. It's always here to see on the vault. So this week, we're going to take a journey back to Pennsylvania, to the home of our friends at Smart Parts Inc. They produced lots of accessory items, lots of cool stuff. Shockers, of course, are noted for the Ion, but they're also noted for the actual Renegade style of clothing. And this is what you see fresh from the vault. This is Renegade pants. These are a large, and these are in a foxwood. So they've never been out of the bag. They've been hermetically sealed by Ryan Moorhead when he was working at Smart Parts. He put them in this bag. He folded them. If we take this out of the bag and open them up, we will find a piece of Ryan Moorhead hair, and we can clone him and make more of the best NXL players in the land from this. But anyway, if anyone wants a pair of Foxwood pants in large, I have them here in the vault. If you don't, just watch the show and we'll see you next time. Pew pew. So those Renegade pants are pretty, they're pretty cool. I did have the Renegade matching Renegade shirt, but I sold that a while ago. But those pants are still hanging around in the package. Like I said, if you open them up, there'll be some Ryan Moorhead DNA, and we can replicate him and make more super good shooters.
PTJM says, how does Joe Kimson have all the brand new stuff? Joe's going through counseling now, but he has a phobia. You know, when someone rips Velcro and they don't like that? Joe's got one for packaging. He'll buy stuff, but he just won't open it.
He's deathly afraid of opening bags.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Taking what? Staples out.
A bagophobia.
Unboxophobia.
Unboxophobia. Yeah. I don't know. I just have some new stuff that I kept.
Yeah. When I buy stuff, I get buyer's remorse. I'll buy something that I've been wanting for like 6 months. I finally go and I buy it. Even if it's a pair of sneakers that I really need, I'll go and buy them. And I'll be happy that I finally bought them. And then I won't wear them for a couple days because I'll be like, do I really need them? Like, and I want to return them. I got a serious case of buyer's remorse.
You do.
Even when I bought toothpaste the other day. I'm like, do I really need a new tube? Did I get everything out of the last one? Whatever. It is what it is. So tonight's topic, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about, here we go. What movie, TV show, or video game would you guys like to see made into a scenario game? And we've all seen lots of creative ones, but what do you guys think? One of my favorites was, we did one called The Simpsons, and it was East versus West.
Springfield versus Shelbyville. Wasn't it?
No, I think it was East versus West, because that divided all the characters.
Because
it was not, because it was not enough people in Shelbyville. But
I
on
find it.
East versus West, you had like Dr. Hibbert on one side, and I have a couple of visuals here, Matt. One other one that I thought would be cool is if you could do something off of Seinfeld, and then you'd have like Jerry versus Newman,
Lord of the Idiots versus Kramer on a bike.
We live in a society.
I don't have this.
Dukes of Hazzard. You could either have good versus evil, or you could have Hazzard versus, oh, someone help me out. What was the county next door to them that they always ran to?
I don't know. I'm too young for that show.
I don't know.
Someone let us know. PTGM says we have carbon tax remorse. Yeah, let's not get into that. Also, this is really not politically correct, but Inglourious Basterds would be a good one to do a theme after. Again, not really the greatest Message Duke Nukem was a video game I enjoyed back in the day.
Yeah.
As well as Wolfenstein.
Mm-hmm.
What about Lethal Weapon versus Beverly Hills Cop versus
Die Hard?
Die Hard. If you're looking for a three faction game.
Class action.
Yep. I saw that image and I thought that works. Or what about NCIS versus Law and Order versus CIS?
Yeah.
Again, just if you're looking for themes. And then this one I thought was great. Caddyshack versus Fletch versus Vacation.
Here's okay, the neighboring counties include Chickasaw County.
Osage,
Hackapape, Placid, Choctaw, Sweetwater.
Thank you, Lisa Weaver. That was great. She got Chickasaw. I don't remember those as you're saying them, but I just remember they would used to flee to different counties to avoid Boss Hogg. And that's all I got as far as the themes of the movies. What are you guys? I see Cyberpunk 2077 or 2077. Ice Pirates.
Are we going first or are we?
I'm just reading some of the chat, but by all means.
Eric Engler says Donkey Kong.
And Wolf Critchlow says Rascal P. Cole Train.
I could hear that in Wolf's voice, though.
Wolf, got your ears on? Yeah. Come back. This is Lost Sheep to Bo Peep.
Thomas.
You lost me on some of those.
Jacob Burton, if there's a fire hose drinking contest, I'd do a UHF theme scenario.
Oh.
Jacob Burton, Apocalypse Now. Greg Muller, Deal or No Deal. Each team battles for cases with different values.
Sorry, what was that one? Greg Muller's?
Says Deal or No Deal. Each team battles for cases with different values. At lunch, cases are open until each team stops their choice. Remaining unopened cases go back to the field and continue to be collected. End of the day, cases are opening something along those lines.
Fallout. Bill Barnes says Fallout, Vault Dwellers versus Raiders. Jared Durham says Canada versus USA. That'd be cool. Spy versus Spy.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be neat.
Eric Engler, Space Invaders.
Todd said the Ryan Sexton had a Star Wars versus Star Trek versus Star Wars, which was we called Trek Wars. That was cool.
That was really well done.
Richard Jr. L. says Warhammer 40K.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Philip Thomas Marshall said, Good Morning, Vietnam. We did that.
Yep.
We did one of those.
Albert Rosales says Cyberpunk. I think he's after Joe's heart on
George Hay goes deep. He says a Twinkie Wiener sandwich prop for UHF game. I had to ask. I think Gavin said last week. Was it Gavin that said last week he has UHF on?
I have it on VHS.
But he has it on DVD. Okay. I'm also looking for Fletch. I'm very desperate for a copy of Fletch.
Oh, okay.
I know.
I had in high school a t-shirt for Spatula City.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You know what?
It said buy 10 spatulas, get the 10th one for one penny.
Thank you for reminding me. I'll make a t-shirt like that because I'd like that.
Chris Fonchat says Risk. And then he breaks down how the game would work in a longer set of rules than Risk itself.
And Kevin Birch said Survivor. Then Greg Muller said MASH. Hear me out. Wait, hear me out. This is Greg's quoting. The North, Chinese, and the Soviets. The West, USA, UK. What about Canada? We were there too. Mobile area spawn hospitals based on casualty counts, time objectives, helo missions, ambulances, golf, moonshine, poker games, clinger costume contest, bathrobes, cowboy hats, Frank Burns eating worms. That might be fun, a MASH themed game.
Tristan Blout says Halo, the Warthog would be an awesome paintball tank.
Kelly Kim, Warhammer 40,000. Philip Thomas, John Marshall, top fan, GTA. And Kevin Norton, Call of Duty.
Frank Sylvia chimes in with Debbie does
French Demones.
Lick?
Des Moines?
I saw that, but it's in a gentleman.
It should be Debbie does French Lick.
Yes. Sleepless in Seattle, Tetris, Dr. Mario, Nightline, Matlock, Columbo, and CSI.
Neb Nella, Fortnite, Michael Solomon, Tom Clancy, The Division. There's a movie coming out with The Division. Jake Gyllenhaal and Jessica Chastain. It's going to be on Netflix.
It won't be as good as The Subtraction, though. Wolf Critchlow says, remember Tippin versus the World?
I remember that.
I was thinking, that was one of the things on my list. So I was thinking, what if you had Empire versus Valken, because they're two kind of big paint manufacturers right now, Eclipse versus Dye, and then I thought Tippmann versus, then I went, well, hold on a second, like, you can't go Tippmann versus Emex, because Emex would slaughter them, but what could you have said back in the day with Tippmanns? Tippmanns versus what? What?
Piranhas or spiders?
I guess spiders, yeah. Tippmann versus spider would have been a good
Tippmann
one.
Tippmann versus a spider army?
That would have been all right, and there would have been, at one point in the early 2000s, there would have been equi number of Tippmann users and equi number of spiders, but you could go spider piranha versus Tippmann.
Well, in that same area, you could have done auto mag versus autococker.
PDJM says brass eagle.
That's true.
Yeah, but you want a team to have a chance.
It's gonna be a brass eagle versus the tech bench.
Yes, brass eagle would get team brass eagle would have tech benches scattered amongst their playing field. And O-rings would be, yeah. What about mag versus cocker? I mean, I know more people probably own mags than cockers, but that would have been a good one. I'm sure that happened back in the
day. Auto mag, yeah, probably. Or you could do sniper, but or snipers versus something else. Pump guns. You got sniper versus phantoms. Or PGPs, any of the piranha based or bushmasters, like early.
Read Jacob Palomino's comment on YouTube? He said RoboCop, only headshots count. That'd be great.
Only if you had somebody in the eyes.
Nev Nellis said Fortnite, Michael Solomon. Did I say Tom Clancy the Division? I said that. Yeah. And then Don Summer said Fallout, Helldivers, Cold, COD, DMZ, and WoW.
Kevin Birch says Survivor. Could you do... I mean, I know Survivor kind of exists as two teams or two factions anyways. I guess you could do that. Could you do physical challenges? Probably not. You have to do something.
Maybe. Some games incorporate things like playing cornhole in the staging area for points during the game. Things like that.
I said Flaggarders, which is me, said Saving Private Ryan, and then 13 Hours in Benghazi. If you had an enclosed embassy, walled compound, something like that, a small town, you could have one team defending it and the other team attacking it, sort of continuous waves, and you'd have to get resupply and more ammo in and more players. They could come in by helicopters, and then the bad guys could try to shoot them down with RPGs like we used to do in our scenario games.
Yep.
With a dice and things like that. That's kind of cool. Or kill cards as well.
Yeah. Pamela Yule says they did a couple games based off The Purge, the movie.
Okay.
Rennie Johnson says Battleship.
Wolf says Walking Dead only headshots. That's true.
Ryan Sexy Sexton says I've done WWE Kansas Cage Match.
That'd be good.
As well as I Am Legend, The Battle of Midway, Boondock Saints, Talladega Knights versus Days of Thunder, Fight Club, Hot Shots Part 2.
That's great.
Tiger King, and many more.
What about Brian Foster says Leisure Suit Larry as a video game?
Oh, he remembers that.
Martin Smith says Metro would be good if you could be played in subway tunnels.
That'd be kind of cool.
Cap Ronan says A Bridge Too Far.
Yeah, that's what I said, A Bridge Too Far as well. That'd be kind of cool. You could probably build sort of a, if you, obviously you're not going to build a giant suspension bridge because a freighter would just drive into it. But if you had a bridge, you could build sort of a platform on the ground, a bridge, put down even plywood, and you could fight from one side to the other. Or you could have two bridges with sort of a fortified area in the middle, like an island, and that could be what you're fighting for as well. It'd be kind of cool.
Yep.
And they wouldn't have to be over water. You could just simulate an area that was over water and a bridge, and you had to stay on the bridge, and you could have abandoned vehicles on the bridge you could use for cover. It'd be pretty cool.
Hey, we missed a couple in the live chat that I'm just scrolling back to see. Dylan says bolt action mags versus stock class. Pump versus magfed says John Metcalf. I like that. Pamela Ewell, how about orangutans versus monkeys with gun? That's great. The Walking Dead only for headshot would be for headshots, Wolf says. I would agree with that.
Wolf says Helldivers 2.
Ontario versus Vancouver. Well, we'd know who'd win that.
Wolf says I Am Legend 2 is in production, Joe.
But what about Pee-wee's Big adventure, says George. Hey, that would be awesome.
Chip Stolfus says, years ago, I helped run a game based on the Firefly.
Ah.
The three-sided game. Alliance versus Browncoats with the Reavers causing havoc the whole game.
Hey, George, hey, I have a question for you. If we were to do a Pee-wee's Big Game Adventure, and if you're the guy, if you're hiding somewhere and you've got great cover and no one knows you're there, but over the radio someone says the word of the day, do you still have to scream and yell?
Yes.
And give away your position?
That's part of the game.
Yep. That'd be great. Pee-wee versus Francis, yeah.
You know what one of the funniest thing about Pee-wee Herman was? Was his suit. You remember that? Yeah, it was comically small.
Yeah.
And now everybody nowadays has a suit like that.
It's comically small.
Could you do Dora versus the Wiggles?
Oh, my God. Hey, I know what. We were talking about at work the other day. Apparently, the Wiggles are the Australian dudes, right?
Yeah.
Apparently, they came out with a rave CD.
Yeah, we've been listening to it on Spotify. It's actually quite amusing.
Is it really?
Yeah. My kids were raised on that. Like, they enjoyed that on back in the music? Day. Well, yes. And they always either had a pacifier or a glow stick. Yeah. Yeah, check it out. It's actually pretty good on Spotify. Speedball versus Wreckball players. I don't think that would end well. That would just be people would get pissy with each other.
They sure would.
Eric Engler's going to get two comments here. Dr. Strangelove. And then this is going to be the last comment that I say from him today. But what about Spaceballs, he says. That would be a good one.
Dark Helmet.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to get the mission, though, if it says go out into the desert with this comb.
Who's getting covered in jam? That's all I want to know.
By the way, if you guys, Wolf was saying Wiggles is the biggest paid music act on tour right now. If you guys get a chance, Prime, I just watched it last weekend. They have a Wiggles documentary.
Did they really?
Yeah, it's actually pretty interesting. Austin Powers, that's a good one.
Yeah, baby.
We can't do Jurassic Park, Jared, because half the dinosaurs couldn't hold paintball guns.
And the Tyrannosaurus Rex guy would be a small arms dealer.
Oh no, the Tyrannosaurus Rex has to reload. The small arms guy. He can't reach his pod pack. Do you guys think, okay, so the topic is all these themes and stuff. Do you think that a properly themed event actually, we know it brings more people, but do you think it actually causes them to play more? Because the problem with big games is you get a mix of people that want to play a lot and will pay attention to the missions. You get other people that really don't care. They're just there because their friends are there, but they also want to just shoot paint. Do you think a proper good theme helps with that?
I don't know about helping to play, but I have seen a theme that did not work out so well that I will definitely say people didn't want to play or stop playing halfway through the day because it was infuriating, it was too confusing, it was too nuanced, like it was too much, and people shut down pretty hard.
But there were some, I know what you're talking about, there were some questionable rules, I think, that people weren't prepared for, weren't ready for, weren't expecting, weren't explained properly, or just outright didn't work.
I love these themes, and I think they're all great, but I think they have to be simple. And you guys are basically hitting it on the head. Like, you can have, like, let's say, for example, The Simpsons, like, you can have character names and you can have some deep cuts, right, when you're writing it, but you have to still keep missions simple. You can't have, you can't do this because you have to do these three things first. Like, it has to be very simple and clear.
Or you can't shoot our team because right now we have an alliance. It's like, you can't pull that kind of stuff off unless everybody has a radio or it's clearly communicated to everyone somehow, somewhere. Like,
people get upset when they don't really know the rules. And if you make it too complicated, that's when people get upset. It's like when you have, you know, players that you can buy back and forth. It's awesome and it helps the game move along, but it's confusing to the average player that doesn't understand. So as long as those players are clearly marked and get off the field before they start again and come on with the right tapes, You can't just have them stop and then turn and go the other way.
You have to have your mercenary squad or your third team or whatever has to come off and then get rearmbanded, then enter in with the right squad in the right direction, as opposed to they just can't and turn around and start firing at who they were just teammates with. That just...
Yeah.
That reminds me of a Taylor Swift song, Causes Bad Blood. Did you like that?
I've never heard of any Taylor Swift music.
Oh, but she just released a new album last week. Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to listen to it. I've been pretty busy sleeping, so... Oh, well. Speaking of the Go Renegades UGG Super Game this weekend. Yeah, Super Game. If you guys haven't signed up for it, you better go do it. They do Renegade squads, and it's awesome. But the thing is, when you're a Renegade there, you get off the field, and then they tell you where to go. It's not... Hey, you're on the field. Now we're blue. Well, you don't have blue armbands on you. So that was pretty good as far as that's concerned.
I'm disappointed that nobody said Crocs versus Uggs.
Oh, that'd be good.
Could you imagine that? If you want to play
with or without,
you have to show up wearing
the
Uggs
sport mode.
Or Crocs. That'd be awesome. That'd be actually kind of neat.
I couldn't play for the Crocs squad.
No armbands needed, just foot signals and Crocs.
Okay, but what faction would toe shoes be on?
You can't play.
Do you remember? Of course you guys remember. But remember,
you need unsturdy footwear
versus sturdy footwear.
Remember when we brought over, Tim Barnett from England, and we gave everybody a T-shirt, and they wore the T-shirt.
That was my favorite.
They wore the T-shirt. On top, that was one team got a burgundy T-shirt and the other team got
green,
and those were your uniforms. It wasn't an armband, and everyone had green T-shirts. It'd be kind of like, and I've always wanted to do an army man, green versus tan army man theme, and give everybody a green T-shirt or something like that. Or one team wears green, the other team wears tan, and they're pretty differentiated. And
it's like when Challenge Park did Shatner versus Kay. Was it Tom Kay?
Yes.
And they had those custom jerseys made for everybody. And jerseys may not be your bag, but it was hard to not know who was on the other team. Yeah. Like, you were either red or you were blue, or you were, as Joe said, you're either burgundy or you were green. And you could just see walls of people and walls of color. It was no mistaking who was who you're up against.
And then you didn't have anybody like
pulling
off armbands or switching or like what? Because you got a T-shirt at the start. That was it.
It'd just be really hard, Josh, if we had green versus tan army men and everybody was like this and they had bases on their feet and they had the like and they had the jump.
Here's your T-shirt and here's your board.
You got to strap your feet. Everybody gets a snowboard onto their combat boots and they have to move like the snowboard. Could you imagine that?
No, the T-shirt thing, I was on the red side, so I have a maroon colored T-shirt. And at first I thought like, well, this is kind of silly because we're all wearing camouflage, but the maroon actually worked in well.
Both the maroon and the olive green look good.
Yeah, if you're in the trees or you're in the shrubs or in the shade, anywhere like that, it blended right on in. It was great.
Yeah. Wolf has a good point. He says, we need a scenario game like Airsofters where you have to wear a specific camo.
That'd be pretty cool.
Airsofters put more effort into what they wear, and they're not team-oriented. So, like, where team factions will have, you know, scenario teams will have their own jerseys custom made.
Yeah.
The Airsoft guys, they own more than one set of camos, and a lot of times it'll be you want to play on this one, then you have to be, you know, it's Tiger Stripe versus Woodland, or
they do green versus tan, or Warsaw Pact, green Woodland or something,
or bright colors versus faded.
Roots boots versus combat boots.
Or paintball, paintball stained
versus crisp. Fresh from the dry cleaner.
Yeah.
I have one to add, and I don't mean to toot my own horn here, but this is the greatest theme of all time. And it needs to happen. I don't know if it's happened or not. There needs to be a scenario game called Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Where the game starts every hour, ends every hour, and it's the same mission.
There you go.
And by the end of the day,
I like that.
By the end of the day, I fall asleep on the couch because I haven't made it to the end of the movie yet.
I bet you that would have more people playing because they would know what the missions were, right? Like, there's just no mistake in it.
Just like the movie, he does more and more things at every single mission. Yeah. Like, he ends up robbing the bank without blinking an eye. And, like, you would get used to the mission. You'd get used to the field.
I actually really like that idea.
So every time you get shot, you go back in and you got to start again.
Yeah. Just you get shot out and then you got to wait.
PTJM says Tiger Stripes versus Behind the Bunker, Tiger Stripes versus Nond. We'll take you all on, sure.
We'll grab those.
We'll grab Bond Chick.
Bond Chick.
and then Behind the Bunker versus Gavin Sharma. We kind of do that even when he's on our team.
Night. Yeah.
Yeah.
We do have a lot of team kills on Gavin.
I'm just reading some of the chats here. By the way, I'm not going to give it away, but if you guys, we're going to announce maybe next week. I'm going to make some arrangements this weekend, but we'll announce next week that there might be a Behind the Bunker game to... we're going to be going to a game where you can join the entire Behind the Bunker cast and crew, baby. Come play with us. So, yeah, we'll talk about that next week.
I'm only going if it's Groundhog themed. So I'm not playing until I do that.
We may just tell you that it's Groundhog themed.
I'm just going to do the same mission all day anyways.
Yeah, that's true. Thanks, guys, for hanging in with us. We kind of overdid the topic, but whatever. If we missed one, by all means, send us an email. We'll talk about it on next week's show. Much like we're still getting comments on some juicy gossip, and what was the other one that we posted the other day?
Rumors.
What products are gimmicky in paintball?
Oh,
yeah. Every couple of days, there's more of them and more of them that keep getting posted. We miss some really good ones. Before we miss anything else, though, I want to tell you guys about something else. What about Planet Eclipse? From the point man to podium, Planet Eclipse performance paintball hardware and gear is designed, manufactured, and perfected to operate when the pressure is on or when there is no pressure at all. Get Planet Eclipse, ladies and gentlemen, and take on the world.
Plumes, puffs, and clouds. EG Smokes gives you the cover, color, and contrast you need. If you're taking pictures in the picture or want to be out of the picture, pull a pin on an EG product. Hashtag pop smoke.
Ruthless is a versatile crew of industry vets and innovative enthusiasts dedicated to producing not just outstanding products, but also outstanding customer service. Use their promo code BTB15 to score 15% off your next order.
Before we go to the next one, do you see the top jersey Swag Jackers?
Uh-huh.
I think next week we need to ask guys what the best team names they've ever seen or come up with.
Well, it's clearly Jack Swaggers.
Swaggers?
Swag Jackers.
Like, Swag Jackers.
Like Bob Lee Swagger?
Maybe.
Often imitated or copied, but never duplicated, the Exalt brand is constantly evolving to keep you out front and in the game. Tournament ready, battle proven, and available worldwide.
DLX Technologies, creators of the new idle marker and accessories used by some of the best. Light, sleek, and fast. The new idle, only available from DLX.
Whether you're riding on pavement, pathway, sand, or gravel, you can blaze your own trail with the one wheel. And before you ride off into the sunset or sunrise, use the promo code BTB10 to score 10% off your new ride at ride519.com.
Is everything bigger in Texas? It is at Tank's Big Man Adventure Park, Houston's one stop for all ages action. Tank hits its target every time with jelly ball, low impact and regular paintball, airsoft and axe throwing. Book your next adventure with the big man. Hashtag get Tanks.
There we go. Maddie Frost came up with a name for best one he's heard so far. The Sofa Kings.
Is so fucking... I have a team. It's called the No Axis.
No Axis?
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
You're not allowed to have any Germans, any Japanese, or Italian people on your team.
Wow, that's not.
You're allowed to use the axe as a marker, but axe body spray is banned.
Yes. The smelly versus the overly smelly.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We can move on here. I think that will be our topic for next week. I'll post that up. You can see it on our social media channels this week, and you guys can feel free to comment on that. We're not going to do lightning round because Gavin's not here. We kind of could do some prices right. Before we do that, I've been holding this off for a couple weeks. We've had custom corner stuff that we keep skipping over that I'd like to show you guys. These are the last...
It's been a hot minute.
It's been a hot minute. So... bear with us. If you're podcast listeners, I'll go through it fairly quickly. If you want to check these out, just come over and find us on YouTube or Facebook. But these are Happy Holton's, a collection of some of his goggles. And you can see they are very horny with his horns on each of them.
It's very JT-ish.
Very JT-ish. And then he has a CO2 horn pump there as well. And you can see some closer up.
Oh, look at that.
And Virik Koch's, this is a carnivore.
Wow, is it?
It is a carnivore.
Looks like it's been dipped.
It's got the bottom of a carnivore.
So the carnivore grip is on the bottom, but he's also made it mechanical. Well done.
Huh.
Huh, indeed. Yeah, well done.
I wouldn't kick it out of my gear bag.
No, I like a carnivore, but the mechanical... Yeah, I think that's a new winner. This is Steve Cousins' photo, and he's got quite a custom goggle system there with predlocks, and I don't know what's on there, but it looks pretty awesome. Well done. Here's another goggle from Steven Cousins, or maybe the same one. Actually, looks like it's the same one. Wow, did he go to a lot of trouble on that?
Is there a mask underneath it?
Yeah, you can see it at the very bottom here. I'm trying to figure out what it is.
Push.
There's if anyone knows at home what that is.
No, yeah, it almost looks like a vent, but it's not.
Predator vents? That might make.
Doesn't that look like the way the mask at the bottom of a vent's predator?
It does, actually.
Yeah, if anybody knows.
I'm just looking at the push goggles behind Joe and trying to match the grill.
Yeah, they're straight, though, where this is. Yeah, yeah, let me zoom in again. Different. I wonder if that's like a Crossfire or like a Tippmann goggle. I don't know. Someone will be able to know. Similar.
That's a Vents Predator.
Again, if someone in the live chat knows what that is, it's hard to see on our monitors. There's no mistaking this one. This is Thomas Bellevaux's goggle.
Whoa.
Nice. Oh. Go back. This is Thomas's tank, kind of cosmic print. Well done.
Thomas's tank, like from the engine.
There's two, there's four, there's six, and there's eight. Shunting cars and hauling freight. Here is another goggle system from Thomas.
Maybe we can do a Thomas the Tank Engine theme scenario with Percy. Then,
let's
then
not.
Ringo Starr could come and narrate it.
Another goggle by Thomas. Well done. And then lastly here, here's a nice anodized gun from him. This is Matt's goggle. You can see with that. I like when they take the Halloween masks and put them over goggles. I think it looks pretty sharp. And they're using a proper mask. I don't know what kind of goggle that is, but that's Elisa Lee's pink loader and goggle. Could that be... that's a Valken, and could it be a Sly?
Is that maybe what was underneath the...
I think it is.
Looks similar,
actually,
doesn't
I'll
it,
go.
The Valken goggle?
Jacob Palmino in the YouTube chat says it's a Predator.
Predator. Okay. Okay. Well, we'll take your word for it, because I'm not really sure. All right. So thank you, and we're going to have a couple more custom stuff next week as well, so if you guys are interested, you guys can check it out. Do we want to do some Prices Right, or do we want to kind of fizzle out into an after show? What do you guys think?
Well, there's only going to be two people playing.
That's right. All right. Well, we'll skip on the Prices Right. Gavin. We can't do it without Gavin. Gavin's going to win anyways. He might as well be here.
Yeah.
All right. All right. And sorry. Someone posted Valkymast, but that was you, Joe. Yeah, sorry, PTGM, we're going to say no. We can't do the Vault or the Price is Right because there's just the two of us here.
Yep.
Or just the two of them competing. Okay, well, why don't we move on? Maybe we're going to kind of wind down the show, but instead of doing a separate after show, why don't we just kind of fizzle into it, and then we'll fade out of both tonight.
Did you have anything in mind for
that? Well, I was going to ask you guys. My wife told me just before the show that she thought that the new Reacher season had started or was out.
Well,
I know they filmed it, but...
This is season two's out.
Yeah, but there's a third season.
Well, no, they're filming it now.
That's what I said. But she said, no, they've already filmed it, and it's coming out. So maybe she was misunderstood, and she thought it was the third. PTGM says, can we talk about food? Damn right. What do you want to talk about?
Todd, right now there's 17 episodes of Reacher. Season 2 is just released.
Yeah.
And season 3, they're just filming now. They get
okay. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Reacher starting already is a bit of a reach. Look at that, Mr. Mike Thompson. I can't believe I even read that
actually,
one.
Actually, right now it's called a reach around. Let me see if I can reach your season 3. I'll Google it.
PT Jam says smoke meat.
I've got it up on Screen Rant right now, but my computer for some reason is going super slow.
We lost a couple of really good restaurants in the last 10 years and certainly over the pandemic. And PTJM saying smoked meat kind of kills it for me because there was a place called Yitzy's Deli in Toronto and it had great smoked deli meats, you know, their own pickles. It was an amazing deli and they unfortunately closed. Yeah.
Shopsies was good.
Yeah.
Here it is right here. This is Forbes. Since Reacher's officially turning for a third season, October 24th is the earliest we can expect Reacher season to arrive.
Okay.
Season 3. But likely not till next year.
We started watching, my wife and I started watching Gentleman, the series, the TV series.
I watched that. That was okay.
So we watched one episode. And we're going to try maybe watching a second one tonight.
It picks up.
Now, okay, can I ask an ignorant question about it? Is it based basically on the movie or same thing?
Yeah,
okay,
it's like loosely. The same universe.
Okay, because I didn't know that. And when I watched it, when they went downstairs and saw what they saw, it's like, well, this is just a ripoff. And then I was kind of starting to think, okay, well, hold on. Maybe this is part of the whole.
I think it's one of those things that they can fit in that they took place simultaneously. Possibly.
I think, well, it's something like that. Involved in that project. I think it's just a bunch of characters he couldn't fit into the movie and he just made a series about it.
Yeah, he did the
so it's Guy Ritchie's cutting room floor.
He was one of the writers Guy Ritchie.
So it's a Guy Ritchie's joint.
Yeah.
Sure.
What's the name of the producer that would always call it a joint?
Guy Ritchie directed 2 episodes of it.
But Guy Ritchie, his barbecue is in it. Speaking of smoked meat, have you seen that thing?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. By the way, Lisa Weber, I will shed another tear for the loss of Chi-Chi's.
Oh, yes, Chi-Chi's.
Yeah.
Wolf wants to go to Ponderosa.
There still exists Ponderosa stateside, but in Canada, we lost all our Ponderosas. They couldn't find enough tough steaks to sell anymore.
Costco so they, hot dogs. Yeah, yeah. Chi-Chi's, they were good. There was a
they were a celebration in food.
All the grade D New Zealand beef is all gone.
Yes. Costco hot dogs. If you get a chance, there is a video. There was a gentleman who ate nothing but Costco hot dogs morning, noon, and night for I think it was a week or was it a month? But it certainly was a week.
It was an extended period of time.
And he lost weight.
Yes.
And Lord knows what happened to his body afterwards, but he lost some weight and...
He was just drying out from all the sodium.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a single Chi-Chi's restaurant, Mexican-style restaurant, operating in Vienna, Austria currently.
Hey, Wolf says IKEA meatballs. Here's the question, Wolf. Why does the meatballs I eat at IKEA taste so good, but yet I buy them and I bring them home and they ain't IKEA meatballs?
Because you're not slow warming them over the course of 4 hours.
They're not slowly warming while humans are walking in different directions, getting lost inside a maze of furniture. Yep. Yeah,
bumping into each other. Yeah.
Shut down in 2003.
Who, Chi-Chi's?
Chi-Chi's.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's
a toast to all the lost restaurants we missed.
Well, Chewy's really could take the place of Chi-Chi's. Chewy's in the Chewy's chain of Mexican restaurants.
That's true.
Have you seen the video of the lady who's breaking down Costco's slice of cheese pizza?
No.
Apparently, one slice of Costco cheese pizza has 45 grams of protein.
Really?
Yes.
The cheese pizza?
The cheese pizza.
Wow.
Protein?
45 grams of cheese. I don't know if it's the quantity of cheese.
I don't know.
I don't know if they put whey in their pizza crust or something, but like 45 grams of protein from one slice of pizza, that's impressive.
There's also a photo floating around of someone taking a Costco slice of pizza and putting the hot dog wiener in it as the pizza as the bun.
I watched some idiot make a, he took a pool noodle and then made a tray, and it, the pool noodle wraps around the Costco's shopping cart handle, and it has a tray with a cutout for the drink, so you you can get your hot dog and your beverage combo and eat it while you're going along, and then you put your free samples on it and eat it. That was pretty neat. That's PTJM says Red Lobster, but it's actually pronounced Red Lobster. I don't know if anyone ever goes to Red Lobster, not have to rush home.
I think
afterwards.
I get the oil changed in my car there.
They filed for bankruptcy not too long ago.
Lobster did, really?
Red Lobster, yeah.
The last time I was there is when they were still doing all-you-can-eat crab, and I'm sure they didn't make anything on us. McDonald's pizza actually wasn't bad. I didn't mind McDonald's pizza.
I didn't think it was bad.
Have you had Tim Hortons pizza?
No. No. Hey, any of the stateside watchers right now, Raising Cane. Why do I keep hearing about Raising Cane? Is it actually that good of a place? They do like chicken fingers.
I've never heard of it.
Raising Cane. Those that know, apparently.
Chick-fil-A's given a run for its money.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know I had a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich for the first time like a month ago?
Yes.
I never had it.
Yeah, you told us last week. Yeah.
I'm still baffled how good it was.
Which sauce did you get?
I didn't have sauce. At least I didn't ask for
you
sauce.
You have to dip your waffle fries in the sauce.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's ranch. It's always ranch.
Oh, no, you get the buffalo wing sauce.
No, you got ranch all the way.
The yellow one, the sweet onion one, is amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
Chicken Kingdom.
Chicken Kingdom.
Red Lobster got in trouble for not using lobster.
Just like KFC.
That's funny.
Yeah.
What was the place we went to when we were in Washington? Was it Corky's?
The restaurant?
Yeah, the chicken place.
Oh, the fried chicken place?
We got the 40 a beer for like $3.
Oh, no, that was, shit.
What was that called?
Was it Memphis?
Docks? No, Docks.
Yeah, that was in Memphis.
It was in Memphis.
Porky's was a restaurant that we went to. Yeah. But we went to a fried chicken joint that was down there. It was awesome.
That was right beside that donut joint, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Long John Silver's is another restaurant that is kind of fading.
I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Yeah. Cracker Barrel PTJM.
Oh, it's Gus's.
Yes, Gus's fried chicken. Yeah. Yeah.
Golden Corral. They'll never. Well, I shouldn't say that. Once the seniors at Golden Corral. Cracker Barrel. Once the seniors pass on to the next generation of seniors, will they pass down the Cracker Barrel or will it go out of business?
Wolf, have you eaten a Golden Corral? There's a Golden Corral in Rochester, New York. That's the closest one to here. I look.
What's that? The other one? There's one by the airport. What? Is it Perkins?
Oh, Sonic? Yeah. Oh.
You don't have to Perkins. Say. Yeah.
It's a U.S. one.
Perkins isn't all you can eat, though. Not a buffet.
I don't know. Yeah, no, it's not a buffet. No.
But by saying it's close to the airport, you've already won me on. You know it's going to be good.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like, you can go. You can get chicken and waffles like any time of the day.
Chicken and waffles is almost a breakfast food as much as it is a dinner food.
How's it not a breakfast food?
How's it not a dinner food? It's both.
And when you put dinner, you put sriracha on it. Breakfast, you put maple syrup. Done and done. It's the most universal food ever.
There's Cracker Barrels in Michigan.
Yeah.
PTJM, In-N-Out for the win, absolutely. Yep.
I got to Google map this now, see where the closest Cracker Barrel is.
There's a In-N-Out style burger place close to us, and it's Fast Eddie's, it's called. And it's cheap.
Don't you dare.
No, hold on. It's cheap, and it's disgusting, and I don't think there's actually meat in their burger.
No, it's sawdust.
Yeah. Like, it's filler.
Is it, like, freeze-dried or something?
Yeah.
Because it's never frozen or something? Like, there's a thing to it.
What? It's also never meat, so I don't know how they say it. Yeah.
Did you know, I discovered this when I was in high school, I think, they sell a bucket of chili fries. And you get this little plastic bucket. Huh. And it says, bucket of chili fries. It's literally just a bucket with a bunch of chili and fries.
Cheese
on it.
Nice to see George signing in. Hello, sir.
Hello, George.
Burger Factory. We have them around here. Are they overrated? I have yet to go into them.
Overrated.
Are they?
It's about as overrated as Five Guys.
I like Five Guys.
I don't like paying $20 for a fry.
That's what I'm saying by overrated.
Yeah.
Like,
overpriced.
Same.
Same.
Yeah.
When you can go different places around here, like Frida's. Yeah. You get a burger the size of your face for like $10.
Yeah.
And it's like awesome. Is it good? Like, you've never been to Frida's?
No.
No, it's awesome.
Treat yourself.
Yeah.
treat yourself.
I like Five Guys in My Mouth, says PTJM. Well done. Yeah, how many of you guys after the show go turn the show off and then go get something to eat? Yeah. I'm in Florida right now going to Rivers Smokehouse, says Wolf. Well, Florida's known for their smokehouses.
And their bathhouses.
The closest
Texas Roadhouse.
Closest Golden Corral to us apparently is... Looks like Erie, Pennsylvania?
No, Rochester.
18 hours?
Well, no. Lisa says there's some in Michigan. Oh, hang on a
second. That put an address in. Never mind.
Rochester, New York is the closest one to us.
Well, it depends. Well, what about Michigan?
No, that's 3 hours.
To the border.
Joe, I thought that was Golden Corral.
What did you say?
He said Cracker Barrel.
Oh, Cracker Barrel.
No, I said Golden Corral.
I thought you said Cracker Barrel.
Golden Corral is...
Bill Scribner says, what about good ditch chicken and waffles?
Got to go to England for that.
Yeah, I don't know if our ditches have the same seasonings that they do outside a pub in England. We haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, it looks like Rochester is the closest one.
Rochester?
14 hours and... No, it's I'm on a bike. Hang on a second.
Yeah. Waffle House, bike in a Golden Corral. Where there's still smoke in the air from... Before they...
Yeah. So I was having a trip down memory lane the other day. You know there's a Tim Hortons... Over here in the corner that closed like a long time ago.
Yeah, the
right?
one on Eagle Street.
Do you ever remember going in there when they had like you could smoke at the counter?
Yeah.
And going in there and buying a cake? Mm-hmm. Do you ever remember that buying cake at Tim Hortons?
Carousel.
When I remember asking my parents for one for Christmas, and I distinctly remember going, I want the, I think it was Black Forest cake from Tim Hortons for my birthday, and my dad was like, really? And my mom's like, I don't like smoke flavored cake.
Jesus.
I distinctly remember that as a kid. I don't know why.
I'm going to say this and probably upset people too. I tried Wahlburgers twice, and I think that's way overrated.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, but
it was okay.
Okay.
And to this end, I'm telling you, I'm not being snooty about price either, because I've been to Collingwood where you can get a $100 burger. $100 burger, you pick between seven or eight different types of buns, 9 or 10 different types of meat, and then all the toppings in the world you could ever think of, however you want it done, rare, medium rare, well done, like whatever. And that was amazing. It was $100, and I would pay $100 every time for that burger.
Really?
Yep. Okay,
Was it big?
I had 2 quarter-pound patties. Cooked a medium rare of bison.
Special sauce?
Grilled on a ciabatta bun. It was awesome. Yeah, and I got like pickles and horseradish and a bunch of other shit on it too.
Hmm.
Did it come with french fries?
Yeah.
Someone feed it to you?
For $100, yeah, almost. But like you could get all kinds. I think there was ostrich, bison, deer. I think there was bear, but that might be seasonal.
Can you get cow?
Yes, you can get cow.
Okay, that's good.
What about if you just wanted to have a bean burger, Josh?
You could have a bean burger if you wanted. There was a vegetarian one.
If I'm paying $100 for a burger, I want Dodo.
Dodo.
Yeah.
I want a pterodactyl fucking burger.
Speaking of burgers.
I want to try a mammoth burger.
Woolly mammoth?
Yeah.
Give it time.
Give it time. Yeah. If you're going to have a hamburger
is this a cloning thing you got going on in your basement, Matt, or what?
Well, like, not me personally.
Are you operating this out of your car hold?
His friend Bob Sacamano. Knows somebody.
Excuse me.
Just got to finish up his bladder for tankers first.
One thing I will say is if you're going to have a hamburger, put an egg on it, a fried egg. I don't know what it is about a fried egg and cheese on a burger. And it makes it awesome.
And beetroot.
I had one in the States somewhere. I don't remember where it was. Some Cracker Barrel-esque, Perkins-esque type restaurant. It was on the side of a highway somewhere. But I got the Elvis burger. It was a half-pound patty, and it had peanut butter, banana, and bacon. Mm. And by the time it came out of the kitchen, the peanut butter had melted. It was a giant mess.
You may have gotten that at Jackrabbit Slim's.
Yeah.
Along with a $5 shake.
Yeah. Marilyn Monroe was our waitress.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Then we won the dancing competition.
We did.
We went home and almost died of cocaine.
We did. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we should probably end this nonsense now. Hey, if you guys have put up with the show this long, thank you for putting up with it. We'll have Gavin Sharma back next week. And next week's topic is going to be, one of them will be team names. What's the best team name that you guys have ever had? They found another preserved mammoth. They have probably made one in a lab somewhere already, says Mike Thompson. Is that where you're getting your information?
That's what I was alluding to. They had found.
They were cross. What were they doing? What they call that? What's that machine they call it to splice DNA?
CRISPR.
The CRISPR. They're trying to CRISPR it with. Is a water buffalo?
Okay.
Hmm. There's something like I would have automatically assumed an elephant, but apparently the DNA of a mammoth closely matches a few other animals over an elephant. So,
pardon me. Sorry.
That's fine. Take your time. It's your show.
Yeah.
Nothing like dead air.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was yawning so you could hear the inhalation of air going past the microphone.
Just crinkle a piece of paper while you do it.
Well, that's true. All right. Josh, thank you for being on the show tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me yet again.
And Joe Kimson, Flaggetters Paintball.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in tonight, and we'll see you next week. Have a safe week, and pew-pew.
And Matt the Crip, a.k.a. Gavin's replacement.
I could never fill Gavin's shoes.
They're too small.
So that's because the wrong size?
He wears those toe shoes.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. You have to wear toe socks with them, too.
Yeah. So. All right. Thanks, guys, for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.